We are moving on to the 11th Mishnah of the third parak of Pirkei Avot. Rabbi Chananya ben Dosa Omer Kol Shiirat Cheto Kodemet L'Chochmato. Chochmato Mitkayemet, right? Anybody who puts fear of sin before wisdom, wisdom endures. Okay, so presumably the Mishnah here is talking about Torah study. Kol Shechochmato Kodemet L'Yirat Cheto Ein Chochmato Mitkayemet. One who puts wisdom before fear of sin, right? Wisdom does not endure. Now, again, this is a fascinating Mishnah, and it really highlights sort of the unique educational approach of Chazal, specifically in terms of how they viewed the relationship between Torah learning and personal development. Again, the first part of the Mishnah says that when you study a text, right, it's important that a person puts the fear of sin right before the wisdom itself. So, what exactly does that mean? So if you look, for example, at the Tiferet Yisrael, he says kol, he says shemachshiv umagdim lira michet umachshivato yoter mehachachmamot haenoshi. Right. In other words, the way in which you frame the experience of Torah learning is that you recognize that this document is rooted in the divine, and therefore you understand that when you access the divine word, it has to be with a certain sense of humility, right? And therefore, you're sort of aware of the fact that you're coming to study these texts, and the purpose of these texts are to make you a better human being, right? And as a result, by studying Torah with that frame of mind, so Torah ultimately, the Torah that you study actually becomes part of your life. Why? Because at the beginning, you framed your experience of Torah through the lens of humility. You understood that the goal of Torah study is to make you a better person. And by extension, by doing that, you were able to then sort of utilize the lessons learned in the Torah and actually implement them in the context of your daily life. Whereas the flip side, the Mishnah says, in other words, if a person's wisdom, right, is sort of the precursor to Torah learning and not necessarily the fear of heaven. So in that case, the Torah learning does not end up being that successful. Why not? So the Bartanura says, mitoch shehi mona ota, milalechet are shirut libo, hu ketzba umuasa umanicha. Right? That the nature of Torah learning is that it's supposed to make you more humble, right? It's supposed to sort of curb or channel your desires towards the world of the spiritual. And if a person is just thinking about himself, he's not able to place himself in the larger context of the divine encounter of Torah learning, so he's perpetually frustrated because he feels like, well, wait a second, all this Torah learning that I'm doing is sort of minimizing my capacity to be free, right? Because Torah is placing restrictions on me. So this gets back to a famous passage in the Talmud of Ein Ben, which says Ein Ben Chorin Ela Misha Oseik B'Torah, right? That a person is really free if he studies Torah. Meaning, if a person has no context in which he operates in, so he's not really free. He's a slave to his desires. The challenge is to be able to make the right choices within the context provided for you, in our case, by the Torah itself. And therefore, when a person sort of begins his Torah learning, if he thinks to himself, well, wait a second, what is the purpose of this entire enterprise, right? If he says the purpose of the entire enterprise is to make myself a better person, then through the experience of learning, he's asking himself, what messaging is the Torah providing for me, right? How are those messages trying to make me a better person? And he feels empowered by the fact that the learning is not simply intellectual, but it's also transformational. Whereas the flip side, if a person says, you know what, I'm really simply learning this as an intellectual discipline, right? I'm not really interested at all in terms of thinking about how this will play out in my life. So obviously he won't succeed in terms of his own Torah learning, because as he's learning, even though he may be intellectually intrigued, he'll recognize that much of what he's studying is trying to make him think beyond himself, right? Make him think about what it means to live a God-centered existence. And therefore, that teaching, which you'll hear over and over again, irrespective of what he's studying, right, will generate frustration. And as a result, a person will sort of say, you know what, if this is what Torah is about, I don't really want to learn it. So again, this is a fascinating Mishnah, but it sort of highlights the general attitude that a person should have when he studies Torah. Obviously, a person's intellectual aptitude and curiosities are critical for successful Torah learning, at the same time, the way in which we frame the experience of Torah oftentimes changes the way in which we experience it. You know, a lot of times people study Gemara, especially, right? Gemara can seem hyper-legalistic. It's oftentimes difficult to figure out what is the larger meaning in it. But instinctively, if we are able to create a framework for ourselves to understand the way in which sort of the Gemara frames the way we think, right, and trains us to see the world specifically through the lens of principles articulated over and over again in the Talmud, then as we're studying the text, as we're going through the spiritual exercise of training our brains to think about the world this way, and as we get better at it, as we're able to sort of implement the type of thinking in our life, so by extension, we're more inclined to keep on learning. We want to study more and more Talmud. We want to be more and more transformed by the Talmudic wisdom. And ultimately, as Mishnah says, in that case, where our yira, where our sense of fear of thinking beyond ourselves precedes our wisdom, ultimately it will generate more desire to study. And by extension, right, our Torah learning will be successful as well.